The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Ches discusses a story, dialogue between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi, and then subsequently between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. They were trying to explain Pshat in a certain pasuk in Sefer Daniel, and Rabbi Akiva said a Pshat, and Rabbi Yossi responded. He said, Rabbi Akiva, a malacha itzel hagada. Why are you trying to deal with agadata? Klach lecha itzel negayim ba'ahalos. You should go and spend your energy learning negayim ba'ahalos. You should learn the sugyos of taharos. You should learn something which is more halachically oriented. You shouldn't spend so much time on agadata. And as an aside, I once was speaking with a prominent Rosh Yeshiva about advice for my own personal learning, not necessarily that it should be generalized, and I got a very similar piece of advice, even though I'm very attracted to Agadata, but he advised me that I should spend the bulk of my time on Halacha. So for that reason, I'm going to try to talk about a Halachic topic, even though today's daf is exclusively full of Agadata. So the Halachic topic that I want to talk about is how much, or to what extent, can one derive Halachos from stories that occur in the Agadata. There are stories. The stories record the hanhagos and the practices of different gedolei ha'amorim and gedolei ha'tanoim and even figures from Tanakh. And the question is, how halachically binding, or how, to what degree, can these stories about amorim, about tanoim, about biblical figures be used as halachic precedent in other circumstances? So to this, the Yerushalmi in Peah, Perek Beis Halacha Dalid, seems to offer what on the surface is a very sweeping negation of Agadata's halachic valence. And the Yerushalmi says, Ein lemeidin halacha min ha'agados. We just don't learn halachos from Agadata. There can be a story about Moshe Rabbeinu in the Agadata, and we still would not necessarily deem fit to imitate or to use that story as precedent for how we should act, because it's in an agadita, and in the meeting halacha min ha'agadita. Now, the Rishonim come and qualify this to some extent. First of all, the Mefarshim already on the Yerushalmi, they say this only applies when you're dealing with a slightly different case. When you're dealing with a slightly different case, then you shouldn't generalize and say that you can isolate the circumstances that were particular to this agadita. You can discern between those that are relevant and those that are only there as confounding, to confuse you. You can say, because this other case is similar in these main areas to the case in the agadita, therefore I can pass them the same. One can never be confident that he's gotten down all the different variables that contributed towards the actions of, the gadol who is being discussed in the Agadita, and therefore one cannot generalize. However, if one is in a case where all the variables are the same, then possibly there is room to use the Agadita as precedent. That's what the Pnei Moshe and other Mefarshim of the Yerushalmi seem to say, but it would be very presumptuous to actually know that all the variables are the same, because very often the Agadita is very precise in giving details of a case, and it's very difficult to have a case which exactly matches up, and anyhow, if we're a different person than the person in the Agadita, then we can all, sometimes we do say that the Chacham in the Agadita did what he did because he was on his level, and we who are on his level are not able to do the same thing. So basically, it's impossible for all the variables to match, but theoretically speaking, had all the variables matched, then the Agadita would be a sufficient precedent. Other Rishonim and Achronim come along with more sweeping limitations or qualifications of this rule that the Gemara says of not deriving halachic precedent from agadatas. Two formulations that are found respectively in the Rashba and in the Radvaz are as follows. The Rashba says that the only time that we don't derive halacha from the agadata is when the agadata seems to imply halacha which is contrary to a rule or a halacha that we derive from Hilchasa. However, if the Gemara itself, if all of the halachic components of the Talmud Bavli, of Shas, don't actually lead us to one conclusion or another, and an Agadita leads us to that conclusion, we certainly are allowed to rely on that. And in this way, and Gadita would be similar to a whole range of other sources, from Talmud Yerushalmi to Sifrei Kabbalah to Toseftas and Masechtos Ketanos, which are discussed by Poskim, where the general rule, although it's not a matter which is unanimously agreed to, but the general rule is that any time that they go against the Talmud Bavli, we don't listen to them. However, when the Talmud Bavli, you know, leaves us up in the air about a matter, when the Talmud Bavli doesn't address a matter, so then we can turn to these other Torah sources to resolve it, even though ordinarily when these sources would go against the Talmud Bavli, we do not accept them. So the same thing by Anagadata, if there's a halacha which the Talmud Bavli doesn't actually tell us what to do about, and the rules for deciding psak don't seem to yield us a definitive conclusion, then we're allowed to use the Agadata as precedent for deciding psak in that area. And that's the Rashba's formulation, and the Radbaz has a sort of similar formulation. He says we're allowed to derive precedent from the Agadita in cases where the Agadita seems to teach us the same principle that's derived from a halakhic sugya. So a quick example might be, let's say, the sugya about Kibbud Avaim and Talmud Torah, where the Shulchan Aruch paskins that person is allowed to go to a foreign city in order to learn Torah, even if it's more dangerous there and it's going to cause his parents to worry about his safety. The Shulchan Aruch says it's nevertheless mutter, because Talmud Torah and proper Talmud Torah to the maximum of one's capacity is actually doche kibbud avaim. And there are two sources that are, you know, that one derives this from. One of the sources is the story that's contained in the Agadat and Maseches Megillah about Yaakov Avinu, how his father and mother told him to go to Lavan and get married, and instead he spent 14 years in the yeshiva of Shem Va'iver. So from that account, we see that one is allowed to disobey one's parents' commands for the sake of learning Torah, and here too, even though it's going to cause a parent to worry about one's safety, which ordinarily would be a problem, a violation of Kibbud Avaim, a person should never cause one's parents to worry about his or her safety for no reason, but for the sake of Talmud Torah, it's mutter. So that's a halacha which seems to be derived from an agadita. So the poskim say, no, that this is actually also derived from a halachic source, which is namely that we know that Talmud Torah is docha the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, meaning a person is allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael in order to learn Torah, and a person is allowed to go away from his parents and not listen to them in order to live in Eretz Yisrael. So kol shekein, a person is allowed to not listen to his parents in order to maximize his Talmud Torah. So that's a halachic source. It's a formal kal v'chomer. It's not derived from any agadita. The agadita leads us to the same conclusion. Therefore, in that sense, it can be used as precedent. So that's what the Radvaz would say, that the Agadita can be used as precedent in a situation where we already know the halacha or are led on the track of deriving that halacha from non-agadic sources. So these are some of the qualifications. The Yerushalmi, in a slightly different context, seems to suggest that maybe for people who are of a stature, the only time that it says a person can't derive precedent from, let's say, other matters, from other, the Agadita is not the only thing that one cannot derive precedent from. There are other types of psakim, of piskei halacha, that a person cannot derive precedent from. And when it comes to those types of piskei halacha, the Yerushalmi says, if a person is someone who's ra'oi to give a psak, if a person is independently capable of reaching proper halachic conclusions, then he need not feel barred by the injunction against deriving halacha from these other sources. So one might suggest also that for a person who has a mesora, for a person who has, who's spent his life in Beis Medrash and has finally attuned his senses to understanding the Ratzon Hashem, so perhaps for such a person also, one may use agadita as precedent. The basic rule is that, agadita can't be used as precedent when there's other non-agadic or halachic factors that cash into the discussion, but in the absence of any halachic factors that inform us about what to do, the agadita can be used as precedent. So I think based on this, maybe one can explain a little bit better what was meant when Rabbi Yossi told Rabbi Akiva, "Klach lecha itz on the guy va'alos." Why are you bothering with agadita? should spend time learning the Gaon Va'ahalos. It doesn't need to be necessarily a derogatory statement about Rabbi Akiva's skills in the area of Agadata. It doesn't mean Chas V'Shalom to say, oh, Rabbi Akiva, when you're, you know, you're out of your league, you're out of your natural habitat when you're learning Agadata, but rather, I think maybe it means something else. Perhaps what Rabbi Yossi meant is, Rabbi Akiva, you're truly, your skills are equally exemplary and excellent in the fields of Agadata and in the field of Hilchasa, but you can make the biggest contribution, says Rabbi Akiva. If you spent all of your time in Agadata, you would be massive, but any contribution that you make to Agadata may not be equal to that you can make in the area of Halacha, because in Agadata, there's a limit to what can be derived from Agadata. It can be used, in order to help us formulate proper, Torahdic ideology, but it can't necessarily be used as precedent for Torahdic actions. If you teach Hilchasa, if you spend your energies on Hilchasa, not on Agadata, on the Goyim and Ahalos, so then, not only, does it help us formulate our Hashkafa, it also can give us guidance for how to act practically, and therefore it's a much more valuable contribution that Rabbi Akiva would be able to make in the field of Hilchasa. It's not Muchrach that's Pshat in the Gemara. There are other ways to learn Rabbi Yossi's critique of Rabbi Akiva, but I think it's one possibility that Ein Lamedin Min HaGados, you can't derive halachic precedent from Agadata. On the other hand, one is able to derive Hashkafa from Halachos if he's properly trained. So Rabbi Akiva is able to make a greater contribution by teaching Halachos, which have much broader extent that they can be relied upon than he would be able to make by teaching Agadata.